Over the past two Thursdays, The Wire's Ben D'Andrea has investigated antisocial media extremism in the online world, looking at the ways extremists use social media and how social media companies try to stop them. Now, in episode three, Ben asks whether democracies can ever be protected against online extremism without sacrificing freedom of speech.
Despite global concerns over online extremism following the Christchurch mosque attacks of March this year, any legislative response must avoid breaching constitutional protections on freedom of expression. But how far do these protections go, and is expression protected at all in Australia? Professor Adrian Stone, Director of the Centre for Comparative Constitutional Studies at the University of Melbourne, says that we have a limited right to freedom of expression in Australia.
Our constitution requires that Australians have access to the kind of information that they need to have in order to properly ensure that they can make a choice in federal elections. And since the early 1990s, the High Court has said what that means is that communication about political matters needs to be not absolutely free, but free enough that we can properly make that choice.
Professor Stone says that this right will not usually protect violent extremist messages.
In all systems of freedom of expression, even under the First Amendment, actually, incitement of violence and incitement of violence on racial grounds can be certainly regulated. I don't think that our commitment to freedom of expression is in the least inconsistent with that. In relation to hate speech in Australia, the position is a little bit less clear because it's not clear that much hate speech is political communication that we need to have in order to cast a vote, you know. So, because we don't have a general free speech principle, it's not obvious that all hate speech gets that protection. But some of it does. If you cast a racial slur in the course of discussing political matters, there would at least be an issue as to whether you can be protected. And we haven't had a final resolution about Section 18C, which is our principal hate speech law. It's never actually been tested by the High Court. My guess is that it's probably okay, but we don't know for sure.
Professor Adrian Stone, Director of the Centre for Comparative Constitutional Studies at the University of Melbourne. Professor Alex Riley, Director of the Public Law and Policy Research Unit at the University of Adelaide, says that social media companies do not have to respect users' freedom of political expression when removing content or suspending accounts.
As a private company, in a way, it's like a contract with people who use it. They could say, look, we have our own standards here and we are saying you can't talk about certain things. Yeah, they are not subject to the same limitation on regulating speech as government. And so an example of that actually was the contract for Israel Folau, the rugby player. So there he was expressing his own religious views. Now, governments can't stop someone doing that, but he signed a private contract with Rugby Australia saying that you can't make certain comments within that contract. So they could do that. Now, there is another question about the extent to which it's okay to contract out of your right to free speech, and I don't think we know exactly yet where that limit is.
Professor Riley says that social media companies bear significant moral responsibilities due to their influence in modern democracy.
Because a lot of social media happens on only a small number of sites, in effect, they're a bit like the government. They have that level of control over communication. And I think there's a strong argument to say, therefore, they have a greater responsibility not to limit speech. But equally, they have a greater responsibility to make sure that speech that we think oughtn't to be in the public domain is not on there as well. So, I mean, probably the main debate has been around that.
Professor Riley has concerns about the power that this gives to the dominant companies in the social media industry.
If we leave it to governments to make those kind of decisions, it's through a democratic process. Like, you do have your parliament that goes, debates these things openly, and we can come to a line that is, in effect, agreed to by the community. Whereas when you have a media company doing that, it is just a few individuals that are doing that. And that is a concern. And I do think that there's probably a role then for government in regulation of these media companies to say, well, maybe you have to disclose that. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you have to justify the position that you're taking. And perhaps even government saying, well, actually, you know, community standards are here and we're concerned about that. And there may be a place for regulation of the kind of limits that those sites are putting on.
Professor Riley says that any government regulation of social media would need to be carefully drafted in order to not be unconstitutional.
It would depend a lot on the phrasing of that was in any regulation. For example, is it only limiting extremely serious offensive speech, or is it just offensive speech? It does matter. Those gradations of what government is requiring would affect its legality.
Professor Alex Riley, Director of the Public Law and Policy Research Unit at the University of Adelaide, ending that report by The Wire's Ben D'Andrea.